Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean. Website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. We are looking at our Torah portion for the week, which is titled Shemot. And basically, we're starting the book of Exodus. And so let me read the little portion summary for you from TorahPortions.org. It says, Shemot is both the title for the second book of the scroll of the Torah. And so in Hebrew, it's not called Exodus, obviously. It's titled Shemot. It's the second book of the Torah and the title of the first Torah portion therein. Shemot means names. And the English-speaking world calls this book Exodus. The Hebrew title for the book comes from the opening phrase of the book. Now these are the names, Shemot, of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. The English name Exodus comes from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. The Greek title for the book is Exodus Agiptu, which translates a departure from Egypt. The name Exodus is an abbreviated form of that title. Exodus means departure. The book of Exodus tells the story of the children of Israel enslaved in Egypt and the miraculous redemption through the hand of Moses. The story of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai and the construction of the golden calf and the construction of the tabernacle. As we study the first week's reading from the book of Exodus, we find the children of Israel in slavery. It seems at first that the God of their forefathers has forgotten them, but God has not forgotten his promises. He remembers his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and brings a redeemer to their children's children for the sake of his name. With love. So we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 1 all the way, basically the first five chapters. And what we're going to have is like an introduction to the story. We're going to see how the Israelites are oppressed, the birth of Moses, Moses and talking with God in the burning bush, miraculous power given to Moses through the Spirit of God. And that's kind of what we're going to be covering today. We're going to be reading from the King James Bible, but we will also be taking a look at the Et Sefer when we get to a certain part, specifically the burning bush, because we're going to talk about what's said there as far as God's name is concerned. And so that is what is on the agenda for this morning, and I think you're going to be blessed by this morning's reading. When it comes to the Torah, Exodus is by far my favorite book. I love Genesis and the old world. I think of myself almost as a pre-flood world scholar. You know, I love to study the Jubilees and Jasher and Genesis and Enoch and really get an understanding for all of that. But I just love the story of Exodus and just how it points to Messiah. And I think it also foreshadows some things that we may even see in these last days. So I just really enjoy that book. All right, enough rambling and introduction. Let's get started. Exodus chapter 1. We're going to be reading the first five chapters. Let's begin. Verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that, when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And he built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. I'd like to stop for just a short moment. Verse 12 says, the more that the Israelites were afflicted by the Egyptians, the more they multiplied. This is a theme for God's people. Wherever there's severe Christian persecution, as an example, it seems that Christianity spreads like wildfire, which may be the reason why God allows things to happen like that. In China, grave persecution is happening, yet China has probably got the largest percentage of emerging Christians anywhere in the world, as far as Christianity growing. Likewise, even in Egypt, they tried to oppress the sons of Jacob, the Israelites, and yet they just continued to grow. And I just love that. It's just a fact. It's just the nature of God's people. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Verse 13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter in hard bondage, in mortar and brick, in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the names of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. So what we have is we have these Egyptian midwives, and basically they were kind of like a nurse. They would help, you know, when it was time to give birth. And they're being commanded by Egypt, look, when the Hebrew women give birth, if it's a son, you got to kill the son. Verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and they delivered ere the midwives come unto them. In other words, they're saying that the Hebrew women give birth quickly. You know, when they hear word that one's giving birth, they show up and they've already given birth. Of course, I think what's going on here is the midwives, just as the scriptures say, the midwives didn't want to do this evil thing because they feared God. Verse 20. Therefore God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife to a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And because she no longer hide him, she took him for an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime, with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, because I drew him out of the water. Let's take a quick breather here. This is part of the story that I just really love. I mean, it's commanded that the male children be cast into the river. These two Levi parents, obviously, they don't want to murder their child, so they try to hide him for 3 months. It's not working out, so the mom, just by faith, says, I'm just going to put him in the basket and hope for the best because he's as good as dead anyway. Maybe he'll have a chance to survive this way. So she puts him in the basket. And Moses' little sister is watching from afar to see what would happen. Pharaoh's daughter comes out the base, sees the baby, has compassion. And then the little girl, the sister of Moses, says, hey, do you want me to find you a Hebrew woman to nurse the little baby? And she says, yes, go find one. She goes and grabs her mom. And so the daughter ends up paying the mom to take care of her own son. Now, if that isn't the hand of God, I don't know what is. That is amazing. Can you imagine? You think your son's dead, but then moments later, you think there's no hope. You've gotten to the place where you're putting your kid in a basket in the river. And then moments later, God's provision comes. And not only do you get your child back, not only is it permissible for you to take care of him and nurse him, but you're going to be paid to do so. I just think that's amazing. But of course, when he gets older, he does end up needing to go and be with Pharaoh's daughter. As it says here, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moshe, Moses, and said, because I drew him out of the water. Very, very cool story. Let's continue on with verse 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied on the Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. He looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out a second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. And they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherd came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye have come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Now, one thing I want to notice about Moses, I mean, before he even has an interaction with God or anything like that, it's in his nature to stand up against unrighteousness. Like, it's in his nature to stand up for the weak and the oppressed. I mean, it starts with he's an Egyptian himself, not biologically or genetically, but you know, he's been adopted into Pharaoh's house. I mean, he probably was living the good life. He's considered Pharaoh's son. I'm sure money's a non-issue. Every pleasure is a non-issue. But he sees his brethren being beaten by one of these Egyptian slave masters, if you will. And he can't handle it. He ends up killing him and burying him in the sand. Unfortunately, the Pharaoh finds out and wants to kill Moses, so Moses has to flee. He flees and he sits down by this well, and these girls come up to water the trough. They're being driven off by some shepherds away from the water. Moses stands up against that and helps them water their flocks. Like, he's already the type of person, before he ever speaks to God, before he ever gets his calling, it's already in his nature to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. And that's just part of his character that I'm recognizing as I read this morning, that I hadn't really noticed before. but it's very clear. It's already in his nature. His calling is already in his blood, in his heart, and in his mind before it ever comes to pass. Let's continue on. Verse 21. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard of their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come upon me, come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I came unto the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Real quick, let me just be very clear about what God didn't say. Because I've heard people try to make this argument. It's a ridiculous argument. He didn't say, My name is I am. He said, Tell the children of Israel that I am has sent you. God says, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. Tell them that I will be what I will be. I am has sent you. All we have to do is read one more verse, and God will tell us what his name is. Verse 15, And God said, moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, of God Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is a memorial to all generations. Okay. Now, obviously, God's name can't be the Lord God, right? What that says there in Hebrew is Yehovah or Yahuwah, whichever one of those you land on. Yehovah Elohai. Not Elohim, Elohai. Means the same thing. It's just, you know, what I've noticed is nearly all sacred name Bibles out there, it'll just say Elohim when that's not what it says in the actual Hebrew text. It says Elohai. it's not a big deal. It's just, you know, when you have Bibles that claim to be restoring all the sacred names of God, and yet they don't even do that properly because they're not actually restoring the names of God in most cases. In most cases, they're putting the text into a program like Word and doing a find and replace. And what that does is they go and look for everywhere where the word God is, and they just replace it with Elohim. But that's not always what's in the text. Sometimes it may say Elohim, but sometimes it says Elohai. Which, the way I would translate that, it's almost like the God of life. Because Chai in Hebrew means life. So, he says, tell them that I am has sent you. And then moreover, he says, tell them that the Lord God, more properly, Jehovah Elohai, the Elohai of your fathers, has sent you. So he tells them kind of like, I am that I am. I'm the beginning and the end, more or less. You know, I'll be what I will be, but my name is Jehovah or Yahuwah Elohai. I want to read that and read the rest of chapter 3. From the Et Sefer, and then we'll switch back to the King James to finish our study this morning. But just because I'm reading it out of here, just because I kind of want to hit on that a little more clearly, and so that's a little more obvious for us. So we're going to start back with verse 13 out of the Et Sefer. And Moshe said unto Elohim, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, what shall I say unto them? The Elohai of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And Elohim said unto El Moshe, Eheya Asher Eheya. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, Eheya has sent me unto you. That's what we translate as I am. And Elohim said moreover unto El Moshe, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, Yahuwah Elohai of your fathers, the Elohai of Abraham, the Elohai of Yishak, and the Elohai of Yaakov has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my mention unto all generations. Go, gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, Yahuwah Elohai of your fathers, the Elohai of Abraham, of Yishak, and of Yaakov appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Mitzrayim, that is to say, Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Mitzrayim unto the land of Canaanim and Kittanim and Amorim and Pezarim and the Shivaim and the Yavikim unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to your voice, and you shall come, and you and your elders of Israel unto the king of Mitzrayim, and you shall say unto him, Yahuwah Elohai of the Ivrim, that is to say the Hebrews, has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Yahuwah Eloheinu. And I am sure that the king of Mitzrayim will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Mitzrayim with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her sojourners in her house jewels and silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Mitzrayim. So what he's saying there is, you're not going to leave empty-handed. In fact, you're going to spoil the Egyptians, and you're going to be walking away, not only walking away with your freedom, but walking away with much of their possessions. And I'm going to give you favor in the eyes of the actual Egyptian people. But the Egyptian leader, the king, the pharaoh, it's going to come through great hardship that he's going to let you go. So It's important to understand that he's telling Moses up front that this is going to happen. He's going to be with him, but it's going to come through a little trial. It's not going to just be a snap of the finger type of thing, as we're going to see as we finish reading the next two chapters. So let's go back to our King James Bible and start with chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thy hand? And he said, A rod. He said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." So, in sense, God gives Moses basically three miraculous signs that he's able to perform at any time. He's got a rod that he can throw on the ground and it'll become a serpent, and he can take it back up again and it becomes a rod. That's a pretty miraculous sign. But God's saying, if that's not enough, you can hide your hand like in your bosom, pull it out and it'll be covered with leprosy, put it back in, pull it back out again, and it'll be healed. So if they won't believe the snake sign, they're going to believe that one. And if they won't believe that one, he gives them one more ability. You can take water out of the river, pour it on dry land, it'll become blood. So these are the three abilities, miraculous abilities, that Moses is able to perform to show the Israelites that he's not just talking, that he literally has spoken with Jehovah, Elohai, and God has given him these powers, if you will. Let's continue on, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? So God is saying, don't worry about your speech issues. Who's the one who creates the tongue? And furthermore, has authority over all these issues. It is me. Obviously, I'm going to be with you and help you. Moses is just, you know, it's a position of humility. Moses isn't thinking, yeah, it's good that God called me. I'm the man for this job. It's a position of humility. He doesn't feel like he's adequate to do the task that God has given him. Verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach ye what you shall do. And he shall be by the spokesman unto the people, and shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a God. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return to my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they yet be alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses and Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and he set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return to Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand. And I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Ziphrath took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So let him go. And then she said, A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord said unto Aaron, Go into the wilderness and meet Moses. And he went, and he met in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord, who had sent all the signs which he had commanded him. All right, real quick. And it came to pass, it says in verse 24, By the way in the inn, the Lord met him and sought to kill him. It appears because Moses hasn't circumcised his son that God's having an issue with this. And then the wife goes ahead and does the circumcision and has a little fit about it, and calls Moses a bloody husband because of the circumcision. And then that's all it tells us about that situation. There may be something worth studying there. I just find it interesting that the scriptures would go out of its way to spend two verses telling us that little story. But at any rate, we don't have time to go deep into that research this morning. Verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, when they bowed their heads and worshipped. Chapter 5. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, and let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? And the Pharaoh said, Behold, the people of the land are now many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, You shall no more give the people straw to make bricks, as heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore you shall lay upon them, you shall not diminish aught thereof, and they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmaster of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake unto the people, saying, Thus say Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it. Ye not aught of your work shall be diminished. And the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmaster hastened him, saying, Fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say unto us, Make brick. And behold, the servants are beaten, but the fault is in thy own people. He said, Ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, Let us go and sacrifice unto the Lord. Go therefore now, and work, for there shall no straw be given you. Yet you shall deliver the tale of bricks. So what we have here, it looks like, is the task that they have to do. They've got a quota that they have to hit each day. And somehow the straw plays into making this possible. And then Pharaoh is mad because Moses says, "Let my people go." And he says, "No, I'm just going to make things worse." And he commands that the straw be taken away from the Hebrews, making this work impossible. And then he's still demanding that they still hit their quota, which means they're probably working much longer from day till night, not even achieving the quota that they have to hit for this brick. And so he's made it very, very difficult on them, demanding that the same amount of work be done with less tools to do the work. Verse 19, "And the officers of the children of Israel did that they were in evil case. After it was said, you shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, and they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, The Lord look upon you and judge you, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?" Which is, it's an understandable statement from Moses. But Moses is forgetting that God said it was going to be difficult, right? That Pharaoh wasn't going to give in easily. But Moses is like, look, you sent me to do this, and things have just gotten worse. Why have you even sent me if you're not going to do what you said you're going to do? Verse 23, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land." And that is the end of our Torah portion for this morning. And I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, in the powerful name of Yeshua, that you've been blessed by this study this morning. If this stuff is important to you, if this work that I'm doing is important to you, if you're being blessed by this podcast, please consider supporting it by going to scriptureandprophecy.com, and that's where you go to support this work. That's also where you can go to get signed up for the weekly devotionals. I've already got this week's written. It'll be sent out in the emails Saturday morning, and a video version will be sent to the Patreon subscribers, just like last week. So be looking forward to that, either in your email or on the Patreon page, however you are signed up to receive it. It's something that I'm just really trying to put a lot of time into, and I'm hoping that that will also bless all of you. All right, that's all I have for you this morning. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.